Hello, I'm Quentin. I have a new life in Christ. I struggle with drug and alcohol addiction, pride in finding comfort and pleasure in things other than Him. Let's start with a little prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for my mess, and I ask that you help me be vulnerable this evening, that I can glorify your message, not as I want it to be heard, but as you want it to be heard. In your precious Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so growing up, I had a loving but dysfunctional family and was the youngest of three. My family modeled to me that happiness and contentment came from wealth, alcohol, drugs, food, and other indulgences of the flesh. At an early age, my self-centeredness and defiance to God's plan and any perceived authority became evident. The struggle became more clear and consequential after my car accident when I was 16. 1 month after my 16th birthday, I was in an accident that impacted my life, my family's, and many other families. I was driving three of my closest friends home from school and lost control of my speeding vehicle and swerved off of a bridge. The next thing I remember was waking up in a hospital days later. Two of the passengers and I suffered relatively minor injuries. However, my closest friend at the time was in critical condition and taken off life support several days later. My reckless driving was a result of Matt's death. I was devastated but did not know how to properly deal with these emotions of guilt and shame. This is when my substance abuse started to take off, and I learned it was easier to numb my feelings than to process them. Being broken and lost, I started to cling to drugs and alcohol. I enjoyed the attention of being the drunkest guy at the party in high school and the importance of being the guy that dealt all the drugs. After the accident, I started to question God and sought answers in a variety of avenues. I couldn't understand why He would let things like this happen. One Sunday evening when I was 17, I went to the house where all the priests from my grade school lived. It took so much courage for me to go knock on their door. When one of the priests answered, he asked, he was busy, and he asked me if I could come back tomorrow. I was devastated. Shortly after this encounter, I started proclaiming I was an atheist, and in my defiance started reading Carl Sagan books to argue with anyone that would listen. Looking back now, I realize I did believe in God, but I was struggling with a resentment. I was spiritually bankrupt and continued to fill that void with anything but God. My senior year of high school, I was accepted into the University of Colorado and attended school there mainly because it was ranked the number one party school in America that year. I was looking for a geographical change to escape from being known as the guy who was in that fatal car accident. I wanted a fresh start and thought the mountains, binge drinking, and pot would be the answer. My time in college, needless to say, was a blur. I had mediocre grades from rarely attending class and drinking every day. I would drink a liter of whiskey every night and then more in the morning to kill my hangover. One night, I was blacked out from drinking high on prescription drugs and face planted on ice, cracking my two front teeth in half. I share this because later in my story, God uses this dark moment to introduce me to one of the biggest blessings of my life. As my alcoholism intensified, most of my friends started to distance themselves from me. At the age of 19, I got pancreatitis for the first time. Pancreatitis is caused by binge drinking and usually doesn't occur until the later years of an alcoholic's life. After spending a week in the hospital, I was told I could never drink again or pancreatitis could kill me. Over the next 2 years, I got pancreatitis three more times before my 21st birthday. Every time I would have a flare-up from drinking again, I would go to the hospital and be given strong opiates for the pain and sent home. This is when I discovered opiates and how efficient they were at numbing feelings and escaping from life. When I'd run out of pain pills, I would start to buy them on the street. One time, when one of my dealers ran out of the pain pills, he introduced me to smoking heroin. This is when things went downhill fast. My addiction progressed so fast, I couldn't manipulate enough money out of my parents to keep up with my consumption. So in late 2007, my senior year of college, I committed armed robbery and burglary of one of my dealer's homes to get money to feed my heroin addiction. I was facing four felonies and 20 years in prison. After initially trying to lie my way out of the crimes, I was caught red-handed, so I admitted to my lawyer and to parents that I was addicted to heroin. In February of 2008, while on bond for my pending charges, I came back home to Taos and entered a drug and alcohol treatment facility. In treatment, I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. I remember reading the AA steps on the wall and cringing at the word God. I ended up attending Narcotics Anonymous because their steps said higher power instead of God. And at this point, the word God was like hands on a chalkboard. I was at my bottom and I was bracing for time in prison. My lawyer's strategy was for me to spend a reduced sentence in a low-security facility. Despite this lingering over my head, I approached recovery with the utmost importance. I decided to give the steps of NA a shot, even though I wasn't sure about this higher power thing. At this point, God put a mentor in my life. I was working the steps with him through NA. He had been sober for 20 years and faced significant prison time when he got sober, such as I was. I was scared, but God was surrounding me with people who were living proof that sobriety was possible. My mentor was a deacon at a local Bible-teaching church. I like to joke that AA or NA can be the back door into Christianity, as it was mine. During step three, he shared the gospel with me in a Denny's diner, and I accepted Christ on my own accord for the first time in my life. I started to believe that whatever the outcome of my pending sentencing was, I would share the message of recovery in Christ as a changed man, either in prison or in the rooms of recovery. In August of 2008, after being sober for 6 months, I went in front of the judge for sentencing. We flew to Colorado for a Friday afternoon hearing right before our assigned judge went on vacation because my lawyer felt that that would improve my chance of getting a more lenient sentence. I remember hitting the knees in the bathroom at the courtroom, talking to my mentor on the phone, praying for peace for whatever the outcome was going to be that day. We prayed Psalm 142, 6 through 7. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of my prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. In this psalm, King David is crying out to God during his experience in the cave. And shortly after hitting my knees in the courtroom bathroom, my lawyer informs me that the judge has postponed my sentencing due to one of his previous cases running long. Since I'd flown into town, my lawyer requests to have it transferred to another judge to sentencing on Monday. My lawyer was successful in getting it transferred to a judge that he went to law school with. To everyone's surprise, on Monday, I was sentenced to 10 years probation, 1 year living in a sober living house, and probation monitored 12-step meeting attendance. I was ecstatic, and I was giving something I most definitely did not deserve. This was an example of God's grace played out in my life. I was forgiven and not given the punishment that I deserved. When I hit my knees in that courtroom praying Psalm 142, I promised to God that I would share how he had been good to me. After this happened, I started spending most of my Friday nights at a detox facility in Arlington, sharing the message of hope and recovery through Christ. I was asked to speak at other 12-step groups around the city. I volunteered my weekends as a part-time football coach at a local Christian school, getting the opportunity to mentor teenagers and started sponsoring some guys through the program. I remember being told faith was like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Being able to reflect on what God had done in my life through my darkest moments, my faith was most definitely strengthened. I started to attend different churches regularly on my own and hosted a Bible study with a pastor friend at my house. The purpose of my life had been radically changed, but I still had many areas of sin unaddressed. I stayed away from drugs and alcohol, but I gambled. I struggled with porn, had sex outside of marriage. I found myself in community with other addicts through recovery that at times would give me advice that if I wasn't using, then a certain behavior really wasn't that big of a deal. That continued to linger in the background of my recovery until I found regeneration. After I'd been sober for 4 years, I had finally had the financial resources to permanently fix my front teeth I had knocked out in that drunken days in college. When at the oral surgeon's office, I met the biggest blessing I talked about earlier. My wife was the surgical assistant at the office and agreed to go on a date with me after many requests. Our first date, coincidentally, was February 22nd, 2012, which was also the fourth anniversary of my sobriety. In God's perfect plan, he turned a dark moment in college to introduce me to my wife. My wife and I started to attend the porch at Watermark on Tuesday nights while we were dating and started attending Sundays together as well. A year after our first date, we got married. And being in love, we started to travel the world, but we worshiped each other rather than God first. Despite attending Watermark on Sundays, we dragged our feet at joining community. I slowly stopped attending recovery meetings and stopped being of service to the story of grace God had entrusted me with. And after being sober for 5+ years, I hurt my shoulder and was prescribed some non-narcotic painkillers. I quickly became addicted. Being prideful, I was unable to share with my wife or recovery friends that I was struggling with the pills. I had become complacent in my recovery, isolating with the love of my wife, being oblivious to the quick decline that was about to occur. In a period of 6 months, I went from stronger pain pills with multiple doctors giving me prescriptions to buying heroin on the street. In July of 2014, my wife caught me, and so I went, caught me using, so I went into detox for 5 days to break the physical dependence. I was kicked out of her house, and I stayed at a recovery home while I got my recovery back in focus. After completing an intensive outpatient program, I moved back home with my wife and started attending Regeneration. In Regeneration, when I started small group, I was paired in a group of guys that had a variety of struggles, and they came from all walks of life. God used every one of these guys to impact me significantly despite our differences. Before Regeneration, I would only be vulnerable with people who had been through the same experiences because I feared being judged. Through this process, I learned how to be completely vulnerable in all areas of my life with the people who were closest to me. One of the greatest blessings I received was the feeling of grace and unconditional love within that group. God showed me that I was not defined by the number of days I'd been sober, number of people I sponsored, or how often I was asked to share my 12-step story. I was a child of God, and in that deep understanding, all of my purpose and comfort could be fulfilled. I was motivated to serve and obey from love and grace rather than fear and approval-seeking behavior. Through inventory, I realized the damages of other behaviors had on my relationships. I used to gamble to entertain or escape from something that was bothering me, and I realized gambling was no longer an acceptable vice since I didn't drink, but rather a thrill-seeking behavior that just distracted me from my reliance on God. I still struggle at times with the need to find affirmation from worldly things, but I see those as indicators or signs of when I'm being less concerned of God's will. I started serving in a prison ministry to share God's story of grace in my own life. I also share the gospel with those men despite my initial fear and discomfort. I've learned how to clearly articulate the gospel. I have to be careful too, though, because I can become prideful thinking I'm earning my grace. I try to remember Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 regularly. For it is grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. My wife and I joined a foundation group and became vulnerable in community. I no longer diluted the truth to try to control other people's perception of me. I'm now transparent with my wife, and in doing so, I've been met with so much love and acceptance. There were certain things from my inventory I thought sharing with her would doom our relationship. After prayer and biblical counsel, I was encouraged to share with her. Through this process, my wife and I's relationship has strengthened and grown stronger than ever. We now have a level of intimacy that I've never experienced before. I've started to be dedicated to daily prayer, meditation, and time in God's Word. I was surrounded by a group of guys through region and community that hold me accountable. In God's perfect timing, I became a father the day after my region commencement ceremony, when my wife gave birth to our twins, Bowen Matthew and Eve Adeline. My son's middle name is in honor of Matt, who died in the accident when I was 16. And also in God's perfect timing, Matt's younger sister had reached out to me for the first time since the accident while my wife and I were in the hospital during the twins' birth to tell me she had never blamed me and had always forgiven me. I was given the opportunity to ask her for forgiveness and share the gospel and share with her what I had named my son. It was another one of those divine coincidences. I had a lot of anxiety and fear about being a father. God used the men in my region group to display what a godly father looks like. If I want my kids to avoid some of the same paths I went down and be committed to their faith, I need to lead by example. God showed me I need to model and practice all the attributes I want them to carry. Since having the twins, my wife and I had our third child, Sparrow. We now have 3 kids aged 3 and under, which I'm confident is God's way to remind me daily to cling to him so I can bear the fruit of the Spirit. As Galatians 5:22-23 reminds me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And such things there are no law. There is no law. I struggle to this day to submit to God's will. I will struggle with self-centeredness over obedience to God's plan. Today, this plan can look like choosing work and money success over time with my family and kids. However, today I have people around me that will speak into my life when I'm becoming less focused on serving God over myself. I try to surround myself with people that will tell me the truth rather than what I want to hear to co-sign an unhealthy behavior. Outside therapy, my wife, the steps, and my mentor have all been pivotal in my understanding and inclination to do this. I have learned that my worth or value does not come from pleasing others to increase their opinion of me. I have learned to create healthy boundaries with those closest to me. Being obedient to God's plan and valuing the teachings of Jesus are now my highest priority. I'm still learning that I'm lovable for who I am. I'm not defined by my addiction or poor decisions. I'm a chosen and forgiven child of God. I've learned that prayer is an important act of humility for me. When I'm in prayer, I'm admitting that I need help and I want God to be in control. I've been in recovery for 11 years and spent most of that time sober despite several relapses. I give all the credit to my sobriety, to God, this program, and my wife. As soon as I think I'm responsible for all the blessings of my life, and the better I look on the outside, the closer I am to forgetting how deeply I need to put my reliance on Christ. I hope the one thing you hear from my testimony is not that I'm perfect, nor am I bad trying to act perfect. I still struggle daily, but I found the King of Kings to comfort and guide me. I hope that you are encouraged to be more vulnerable to allow people God has placed around you to speak truth in your life. God has given each one of us, our own unique set of experiences that can always be used for his glory if you take the effort. Today, I can say I'm grateful for my battle with addiction, because without that, I may never have been motivated to submit to God's will and experience the grace of Jesus. Thank you.